Jeremy on YouTube.
Yeah. And then when it comes up, you get
on BoobTube.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Once again, it's Those Casual Reds show brought to you by...
Brought to you by Bellorian & Lutien, the finest law firm in Southern California, specialized in personal injury. You can call them at 747-444-4444. With a 98 success rate in the beautiful city of Sherman Oaks, Bulorin, Maluhian, and Shagirian BMS is their call. 747-4444. Okay, Sam, you can go ahead and bring everybody in. Let me get, maybe make sure I turn on the right microphones we got. Go ahead, speak into the mic.
This is Sinatra.
All right. Sam, you can bring everybody in. Hi, gentlemen. This is a beautiful panel of Reds, state-sized Reds. I'm Casey. I'm just going to do a quick roll call. We got Bandino here in Los Angeles, Big Mike in Atlanta, Sean in Pittsburgh, Sinatra in studio, Cheese in studio. I'm just going to tell you, we're going to talk about Liverpool. I really wish I didn't. Actually, I feel better today. I'm just going to go around the room. Just going to get right into it. We're going to talk Liverpool. We're going to talk. I'm just going to keep everybody. We're going to talk Erik ten Hag. We're going to talk about solutions. We're going to get into all that. We're going to talk about boards backings. We're going to talk about what do we expect and a realistic date. But let's start it off. Let's get everybody's vibe. Bandito, I was with you. I'm going to start it off with you. Tell me how you felt.
What's up, everyone?
Tell me about
tuning in.
Yeah, go ahead.
I see Cheese got the Trini Boy strip.
Hey, good eye. Yeah. Good eye, my man. Good eye. Fresh. I was at a Caribbean festival on Sunday.
You didn't even tell me.
I know. I should have, because the birds out there could.
Big up TNT. That's what I know.
And we got the Zen sponsorship. I like that. Okay. Okay. I see where it's at.
It's that type of day. That's the mood.
Since there's a lot to talk about, Bandito, your Liverpool reaction. Your whole vibe, your whole essence after Liverpool.
Well, I had some time to calm down a bit and sulk
facts
about it. And
facts.
Let the emotions get out. One of the big takeaways, United aren't... We didn't really know how good United were. We didn't really know how Liverpool was just early in the season. Now, I'm not going to say that Liverpool was a great side. They're a decent side, better than us. But we kind of see where we are and where our loads of weaknesses are. Yeah, obviously, you know, we're going to go on about the mistakes made by individuals, but my thing is the way you set up, you have to account for people giving away the ball. That happens in football. But when you give away the ball, you can't be, you know, 4-on-2 with them running at you and you're right and left back 40 yards up the pitch and just continue to do that and continue to do that and continue to do that. And then with the ball, I thought we were wasteful. Liverpool were clinical and we were not. You know, they didn't create a whole lot of chances other than those goals, and we kind of manufactured those for them. So that was a bit depressing to see. And then around halftime, you're looking like, okay, well, who comes on and affects this game? You know, we'll look at our bench. And Collier came out and he didn't do, you know, what can he ask of the kid? He didn't have a bad game, but, you know, he's not going to come on and really change the game. So frustration, sad to watch. And, you know, now the boss has put himself under pressure, which I'm sure we'll get into in a bit. But that's kind of my overall take on it.
Yeah, frustration is a good word. For me, frustration is a good word. You know, a lot of things went wrong. I think a lot of our problems were glaring. Sinatra, I was also with you. Don't lose it completely right now. Gather yourself.
No, but you know, unlike Bandito, I haven't had a chance to calm down because you know, it's Liverpool, and you know, 3-0 losses are inexcusable, and you know, the amount of money that's been spent again this summer to come out with another slow start it's disappointing. I think some of the problems that we saw in the first couple games of the season, saw them again. And that's the thing that I think is the most troubling, is we don't seem to be making enough progress where we got to know that we can't keep making the same mistakes. I mean, the goals that we gave up against Brighton and the goals that we gave against Liverpool were nearly identical, were they not? I mean, it's both coming from the far post, and there's nobody over there defending, like, every time.
From us turning the ball over.
Like, and they know, we're a team that it's been drilled into us for the last... you know, decade pretty much, the core group of players that we like to hit on the counterattack, we like to absorb the pressure, and we don't get out of that mindset. And Ten Hag's not done enough to coach the team up that it can't always be a manufactured counter. It can't always be a one-on-one. And when it is a one-on-one, you have to make the right decisions.
Okay, we're going to get into the tactics and solutions because you're jumping there already.
But my biggest thing right now is we can't keep seeing the same stuff over and over again. At this point, the excuses, all that stuff goes out the window. The injuries, you should still be able to pull it out an 11 that doesn't get beat 3-0 to Liverpool. I refuse to believe, I don't care if it's on paper or not, I refuse to believe that we're 3-0 worse. And you can't say, oh, well, you know, we did 7-0, now it's 3-0, oh, we made a little progress. Like, that's not a thing, you know. So for me, he's in a position where we lose another game. Like, he might need to be packing up his boxes. And I hate to say that, I want Ten Hag to be successful. I don't want to be a Ten Hag out guy, but you can't keep digging these holes for yourself. This is a club that those kind of things are just, you only get so many of those. You know what I'm saying?
And I know what you're saying, because it's funny. This is exactly how he felt after the Liverpool game. He's not hiding. This was his feelings. He was extremely vocal. And
as he should be.
Jeez.
Yeah, what if you don't know about Sinatra, we're getting our ass whipped. It's like, it's all hush, everyone's. And he's this 6'6 guy with this big booming voice, and he's like going in on the whole team. And everyone in the pub can hear him.
Yeah.
It was a sight to see. But it was just, you know, the raw natural reaction to losing against the Dippers.
Yeah. Cheese.
Action, baby.
You know, it's been a rough couple of days. The banter online is rough. Life is just rough. It is what it is. I'm actually going to be taking the Jose Mourinho route on this. I have nothing to say. Nothing to say.
Wow, cheese.
Team Ineos all day. I'm going to trust the process. I have nothing to say. Back over to you guys.
Okay, let's go to our foreigners.
To the Dippers.
Our outer towners, our foreigners. I don't know how you guys felt watching your show. Salute United Fan Zone 24. Good show.
Big show.
Mikey, after Liverpool.
Yeah, how do I get on that show?
You could be on next week.
Well, Bandino, if you decide to look at your messages and accept my friend request, I asked you.
That's facts with Bandino. That's actually facts.
I took away my friend request. I wasn't about to wait that long.
Dude, we sent him a friend request 2 weeks ago and said, you want to be on the show?
2 weeks, 6 months.
Yeah, that's facts about Bandy. He's not really the social media type.
You got to send him Latinas. You got to send him the Latinas on the Instagram. That's how you get in. That's how you get in the DMs with Bandito.
Wow. Okay.
You got to get man's attention.
Sinatra kicking game right now.
Is he? Mikey, Your thoughts after Liverpool?
Hey, man, listen. You know what? Today is better. Today is a better day. I haven't been on the internet aside from cooking, man.
Still.
Other than that, I'm not tripping, bro. I'm telling you, I am not tripping. It's the third game of the season. I mean, listen, you don't want to lose to the Dippers. You don't want to lose to the Dippers in any sort, form, or fashion. So that sucks. That's terrible. But at the same time, bro, like, you can lose the third game of the season. You can lose two games in the first three and still be successful. It's okay. It's not an indicator of where our season is going to go, despite what people are saying online. That's the theme online is, oh, we're going to be bad. We're going to be terrible. I'm not a fan of what I saw and some of the decisions made for sure. But Ten Hag has made bad decisions before. He will make bad decisions again. Fergie made bad decisions. Fergie lost games. We lost 4-1 to Liverpool, went on to win the league 1 year. That was in our worst ever team we've had to win the title. So, you know, not comparing the two, just saying, just in the idea of you can lose. You don't want to lose the Dippers for sure, but I'm not going to make a big deal of this. Just like my boy Cheese, big up Cheese. Big up San Fernando, you know what it is. I'm not tripping, bro. I'm really not. I don't want to lose, but it is what it is, bro. I'm moving on. We move.
Let me get into Sean. Let's get into Sean because I know what you guys feel. I heard your show yesterday. Let's go.
No, I have been online today. Talking to some people in Manchester and some people in England and whatnot. No, not that person. Just talking to people that I know in the UK and whatnot. And from what I'm hearing, and it was reported online also, that United are also already putting a contingency plan in place.
They should.
There's already one in place.
A big club should be.
Just should be
one, even if we're doing all right.
So we all know who that's going to be. You know, may have been a manager at Bayern Munich last year. So
that's a crazy shot because two of our players he didn't like.
Yep.
But anyway, let's not go too far.
But anyways, there's contingency there, which is not a bad thing, to be perfectly honest. You know, if you're going to go into the season, you're already looking at, you know, the results that we've had so far. It's not a bad thing to have a contingency in place just in case the worst happens. I want Erik ten Hag to stay. I honestly believe he can be successful. I think Ugarte coming in, you know, we're hearing that Luke Shaw's going to be fit coming back. He's started training, full training next week. Ugarte's not going away. So a lot of these players are going to be staying back, getting fit. So, you know, Hoyland's going to be back. And we'll have a striker up front. I'm not, like Mikey, I'm not too worried. It's third game of the season. 2 years ago, we had just a bad start and we ended up finishing third with a title, with a Carabao Cup. So, you know, we got to be positive. You know, I can't keep going in negativity with Man United. It's going to raise my blood pressure and, you know, I just can't keep going into how I was yesterday and just how it is. So I went on a 3-mile walk today and calmed myself down, and now I feel good for the show.
I appreciate everybody's opinions after their Liverpool reaction. I know for me personally, my levels were high. Came in there really pumped up, confident. The only thing that brought me down a little bit was the Ugarte not playing, but I thought we had enough. I did say before the game, Casemiro is going to have the game of his life for us to do well. That's documented. First couple minutes, we look good, but that's what we do in the first couple minutes of every game. The press looks good. Five. Guys are hustling. We're breaking up balls. And then structure comes in. Pause. Damn. Structure comes in. Settling down comes in.
I don't think we ever got settled down. I mean, when did we ever decide we weren't in a panic? And that's why we kept making silly mistakes, silly passes. We never calmed down. And then our solution at halftime was to bring in a 19-year-old kid who, I'm sorry, he might be a good player, but he's not another Kobe Mainoo. He's not another Darren Fletcher. He's a 19-year-old kid that we're throwing right to the wolves. Where's Licha Martinez stepping into midfield and doing cover in front of the back line? We've been talking about this. The guy that can play in midfield.
Sinatra, let me speak for by 3 years
now.
Let me say by experience.
We've all said this. Licha should go in midfield at some point.
Then I saw Casemiro turn it over, and it's something I've seen all last year.
Repeatedly.
A lot. And I was like, he's not even getting pressured. This is a problem. Then it happened again, but I think that was more of a foulish. Some people said no foul.
It was definitely foul.
But I did not like halftime feeling like it was over. I didn't like that at all. I thought we were going to probably, you know, mix it up. What Ten Hag does not do in-game adjustments. It was just all falling apart. At some point, people were telling me, sir, we need you to tone it down because I was trying to keep songs going. People were like, you're at a 10. We need you at a 2. And it wasn't a good experience. And then I wasn't Eric Ten Hag out, but I can hear it, the rumblings. It was very vocal. People are jumping ship. They want to tear up the whole plan already. And you just can't do that in my mind. But Eric Ten Hag. Go ahead.
Casey, I like something you said. You said the tactics were naive, right? Yeah. Like you set up and you don't account for the mistake. You don't account for Liverpool intercepting the ball. You don't account for, you know, giving the ball away. It's like, I want to build up this way and this is how we're going to do it. And there wasn't the adjustment, right? We couldn't see it. Like, okay, it's a bit of that stubbornness that we talked about last season. Is he going to make adjustments in-game management? So we're hoping that with this new structure, he's not making decisions in a bubble. He's got, you know, Ruud van Nistelrooy. He's got his coaching staff. They've got to get in his ear, and then he's got to get the feedback from the Ineos group, that's that protective layer to give him, you know, feedback about, you know, the way things went. So that was one thing that kind of stood out to me, like you don't have the players to bring on, but you can make adjustments in your setup.
I don't know if anybody's seen this, but it might not have to worry about Casemiro much longer anyway.
The turkey stuff.
Big talk of Galatasaray taking him before the window closes.
Link, and the name of the link was the funky. It was like Nickelodeon.com. The person was like Nick Nack Paddy Wack Game a Dog a Bone. Yeah, something was the name. I was like, I can't even read.
The Saudis weren't in for him. The Turkish are not going to be in.
The Turks are not going to be in.
The difference is, Casemiro, we can't write him off after one bad game. It was a horrendous game, but we know his limitations. This is another problem that I have with Ten Hag. You know his limitations.
Let's go.
You know he can't cover 30 yards of the pitch. And covering for the fullbacks that are always pushing up wide and all that for 90 minutes. Like, the guy's good for maybe 60, 70 minutes. And you know this going into the game. One, why was Ugarte not the first signing of the whole summer?
Ten Hag doesn't control that, though.
But regardless if he doesn't control it all, you know that's like in the top two crucial positions needed to sign. And that's, we're waiting until deadline day to get that deal done. The other side of it is we should have moved to a double pivot a long time ago, and we've got – unfortunately, we're putting Kobbie Mainoo in another no-win position where he's asking the track back a lot, and the kid doesn't have wheels like that. Like, he's a great player, and he will grow to be a great player, but he is not a great player today.
Sean.
He's not someone to take United to the next level now.
We're hearing a lot of complaints about tactics and Erik ten Hag not handling it well.
Yeah.
Arnie Slot. After the match, had an interview.
Tore him up.
A great tactical interview.
First of all, let me read some comments in here. Matthew Fisher says, why is nobody drinking during the show? Don't have me on the show because I'm going to have you lot drink halfway through. Oh, you're not going to make me drink. Ronaldo says,
he's drunk now.
y'all think we can do without Casemiro for the depth till January?
No.
I don't think so. We keep him till January. Good as Collier looked, I think we should keep Cas till New Year. Ronaldo says we need backup numbers. Is it a number 6 or 8? I can't remember. It's number 8. But Rabiot want the whole bank.
I would take Rabiot.
Sean, so.
With those wages, though, that's why we didn't get him to begin with. Him and Mommy, they want to make, like, you know, $400,000 a
week. He wants 200 bags a week. We don't have time for that. So, Arnie Slot comes out, says, we know what they did last year, and this is what they're doing this year. And we knew if they do this, they're going to work too hard, so let's go through the middle.
Yeah.
Everybody simple.
Brilliant.
Well, of course it was simple. We didn't, simple game. You know, as everyone said, we didn't fix the mistake when we should have done.
So
it should have been the first signing. I get why we went for Yoro. It could be a generational talent. We had to get him at that particular point, of course, we're looking at him. But why don't you get him as a second signing? Like, it needed to be done at the beginning of the summer, so he could come in, work with the team, be on tour, and then this shit wouldn't have happened. But it didn't, and look where we're at. It happened in the Brighton game. It happened in preseason. I sat there on the sideline versus Liverpool, and I said to everyone, look at the goddamn space in the middle of the field. We had no one in that middle of that field. Yep. And you're right, Mainoo's a great player, but he doesn't have the legs to keep going up and down the field, mm-hmm. especially when he just made it to the final with England. Like, the poor kid is, like, young. He's going to get burnt out like Garnacho did last year. And he needs that protection in that midfield.
And Liverpool was doing something. We think about vertical space, right? Like, having to cover between the front line and the back line. They were pulling Mainoo and Casemiro horizontally as well. That's how they're building up. They're playing them to the left and then having to sprint 60 yards back, 40 yards back the other way, and then try to cover, and then switching it back and playing a through ball. They did it like 3 or 4 times on their buildup. So, like you said, you know, Mainoo, he's not a guy that crashes around the pitch. He's, you know, he doesn't have the pace for it. And we're asking a lot of him, you know, for a 19-year-old.
Mikey, is the solution going to be inserting players, or is it going to be a tactical change or formation change? Is that too much for one question? Is it all of the above?
I feel like football is played on a game-to-game basis.
I like that answer.
Sometimes it's half to half. Sometimes, like, a team comes out set up a certain way, they change. We watch Pep do it all the time. So, it's a game-to-game thing. It's not going to be, they changed this, so that's what we're doing now, and that's what we're going to do for the next 35 games. Like, no, it's going to take time. It's going to take this guy having the personnel in place. We have that now. We're getting that now. Aside from Euro, we're getting Luke Shaw back. That's why I'm not really that concerned. I just feel like he's going to have to coach himself out of this situation. Okay, if Ten Hag's going to stay, you have to coach yourself out of it. Because these guys, we have a better group of guys than we had in the last few years. Also, with the Ugarte thing, Ugarte went for the same amount of money that he was asking for initially. We end up giving it to him anyway.
Facts.
So it's crazy that we didn't just give him the money and on the back end. Now, I knew it took sales to do.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It took people doing sales. So I think that was the main factor in why he couldn't come as possible, why he couldn't join the team as fast as he needed to. But we end up giving the guy $51 million anyway. So I don't know. It's going to take... It's going to be a tactical thing, it's going to be a personnel thing, and it's going to be Ten Hag actually putting the screws to everybody and saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. Hey, you can't do this. You're out. Hooking a few guys, maybe sitting Rashford, maybe playing Ahmad more. I don't know why Ahmad and Garnacho aren't on the pitch in the last minute when we're chasing the game. When Rashford, he put in 2 crosses that could have been goals, but he was the least effective of those three. I mean, Garnacho had a decent, okay game, but Ahmad was the most effective. He changed the game once he came on, per usual.
You know, Mikey said something that I liked. We talked about this on the ride here. Mikey said, it's going to take in-game changement, tweaking it a little bit here and there at halftime.
Too bad Ten Hag sucks at that.
I'm calm.
It's a pity.
Remember, everybody out there in the world, I'm Ten Hag in.
You're going to see it in the third to last game of the season.
Is he bad at it, though? Because, like, every game that we won that he's made a change in, like, oh, okay, I'm going to bring on this kid. I'm going to bring on that kid. Okay, I'm going to play deep. We're not going to chase the game anymore. We're gonna play compact instead of out wide. Michael. We won games. He did it in the last three games of the season and the FA Cup. Brought us back on board to him. Am I wrong?
To be clear, what I'm talking about is him taking forever to make those changes. Not that he's bad at the tactics. So you see how you just said he waited to the last three games of the season and the FA Cup? That's what I'm talking about. He's going to do the same thing again this season. Wait a real long time when it's like, we need man to be moving with the changes.
I'm afraid that he's going to be stubborn and like wait 6 weeks before he makes some changes.
He'll be gone. If he continues on the way he is now and we lose games, it won't be six damn weeks.
The problem is he doesn't have an excuse to losing to Liverpool anymore. When we come back, it's not, we should win every single one of those games. He doesn't have an excuse anymore. Like these are not like Arsenal, Chelsea, like City games that we're playing when we come back. He has no more excuses. But the thing is, he's not a bad coach. This is a guy that took Ajax to the semi-finals of the Champions League. He's not, like, that's not Ajax League. That's the Champions League. He's not a bad coach. I just don't know what's going on right now. Did he fall into the mentality of when you come to Man United, everyone just turns to shit?
I'm going to let you jump in. I'm just going to answer that. I like that you brought in Ajax. I think Ajax was so structured and put together that time. Ajax was like a better Brighton, where you could just put a coach in there. Well, that's not true, because when dude got sick,
they have a track record of plenty of great players coming out of Ajax. Yeah. Like that, we're not talking about he managed Little Sisters of the Poor. He managed the best club in the Netherlands outside of PSV Eindhoven. Like that, that's Ajax and Eindhoven. Like that's Feyenoord occasionally. Like with. Okay. Even that's an even better structure than Bright, and they have Edwin van der Sar as their sporting director. So it's not like they're suffering for football knowledge at Ajax.
Right. Talent. And when he had health issue, everything fell down.
Yes.
So,
but I think
since Fergie left, name one coach that's really succeeded at Man United.
Well, I mean, it's true. Yeah, it's true.
No, really, not up to our par, not up to the level.
It's true, but we've also wasted great managers. Mourinho, yeah. Van Gaal, we treated them poorly. And I think one of the things now, and we brought it up before, is the naivety. Ten Hag's never managed in the Premier League before. He's never been an assistant coach in the Premier League before. Like, the best he's had was, being at Bayern, being the, youth coach under Pep, and you would hope that Pep imparted some type of wisdom on him like he has Arteta and some of these other, coaches that are coming off the coaching tree for Guardiola now. But it feels like we're a cup side. And I hate that. I feel like he's only good in those specific, like, the one, you know, it, well, yeah, and the stakes are different in a cup match versus in a league game. And I forget who said it. I can't remember if it was
Sinatra. It was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and it was about 21. He said, "You can make runs in cups and get trophies, and that'll boost the ego of the manager. But it doesn't show progression."
Progression has to be in the league.
Up the table.
Yeah, the progression has to be in the league. And so I'm so sick of, like, oh, we won the League Cup or oh, we won the FK. But those should be given. We've 11 years we've spent without Sir Alex, without direction, and I'm grateful for Ineos and what they're bringing to the table now for the most part. But I feel like we've gone this decade plus now. That we're willing to accept, like, oh, we won the FA Cup, like we're getting back into it. Like, the guy needs to, with the $600 million that we've spent on him, like you have to come in guns a blazing. And like I said, I don't want to be a Ten Hag guy, but he keeps digging these holes. And I feel like...
You don't want to be. You
want
to be.
I don't want to be. I want him to be successful. I don't want to keep firing the manager.
We all want him to be successful.
I don't want to keep having to do these things. But the sad part of it is he's on a learning curve as much as anybody else is. And now we've brought in assistant managers to assist him. Like, he's got to be willing to be a part of this collaborative process, because clearly if he's going it on his own, like, he's like, well, I'll just go be successful anywhere. This is what I do. I win trophies. But it's like, you haven't really been a manager for that long either,
though.
Let
me get some of the guys in here. Now, you're making fair points. You're making fair points, Sinatra. Is he, his press conferences of late, his comments of late, I don't know. I just feel like he's cracking up.
Yeah, he's going the comedy route this season, because last season he was just confusing.
And the thing is, the media is coming real right now.
Getting at him, yeah.
As you should. You're coach at Manchester United. Like, you're going to be in the hot seat every minute of every day. And I do feel like the pressure is getting to him a little bit, because it's one of those things where he thinks he has time and he doesn't. Like, he's telling everybody, I'm not Harry Potter. I can't be Harry Potter. We need you to be Harry Potter.
Let me ask Mikey a question. Mikey, am I wrong? Because I think I read people well. Am I wrong when I see our coach? No. Huh? I don't?
You don't.
What do you mean I don't read people? I know when someone wants to smack me, and I know when someone wants to kiss me. I read people well. But maybe I don't. I'm always under. But anyway, Erik ten Hag, he sounds like someone who is not too clear on what his plan is, his goal is. He's saying things like the media came at him crazy. Said, what makes you confident that it's your players and not your coaching? And he says, maybe you can explain. I'm going off his words.
Bro, I would say this like I've said the last 2 years.
This is why I want to hear this.
Who gives a fuck about these? Are you listening to Brighton's press conference?
No.
Are you listening to Arsenal's? Are you listening to Arsenal's?
Why would I?
Are you listening to West Ham? Are you listening to Aston Villa talk? Are you listening to those coaches talk?
Why would I?
Are you clued in and listening to those guys talk and being like, man, I don't like how he said that. Boy, I can give a shit about what he says in these press conferences. You guys all hung up. Oh, he's saying this. Yeah, the guy, if he says this, it's going to be a headline. If he says that, it's going to be a headline. Doesn't matter what he says. Doesn't matter what he fucking says. And I think he's taking the piss. Fucking piss. And he's just like saying whatever, because it doesn't fucking matter. What matters is what he's saying to those players.
He's very proud of the fact that he's a cup-winning coach.
That's what and then
he's very proud of the fact that he's a cup-winning coach. That's what he keeps telling us, and you're saying, that don't matter.
Well, it's true.
No, let Bandino finish. Bandino's going to. Oh, go ahead, Mikey. Finish.
What I said is that he can say anything, and it will be scrutinized by the press. When you are the coach of Manchester United, Jose said crazy shit. Vahal said crazy shit.
Fired.
They all said crazy
fired.
But they could
who
back
cares?
It up.
And yeah, and Jose and
is he backing it up?
What stuff no. with us? He shouldn't have gotten fired at the time. But that's 5 years from now. That's 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Bandito.
I don't put as much stock into it. I don't care.
I feel that. Bandito.
Because I'm not listening to these other coaches.
Why
press
would
conferences
I listen
either.
To another coach? I want to hear what my coach is saying. Go ahead, Bandito. I'm sorry.
The ABUs in the press, they love it. They eat it up. They love to see us fail. They love to put our manager under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. And he's not a player that's going to – he's not a manager that's going to slag off his players. And even Bruno, people were criticizing Bruno because he said, I didn't tell Casemiro he has so much experience. Well, you don't know that that's true. He's not going to come out and say, I fucking got in his ear.
Exactly.
And all this.
You'll never know.
They're professionals. You don't know what went on in that halftime.
You're fucking media trained.
I know Casemiro's doing the same stuff.
Very canned answers. And it does it sound goofy? Yeah. But in the end, you know, it's the knives are out. The ABUs, they love it.
You know when we'll know the truth? Is when there's an all or nothing at the end or there's going to be players at the end 5 and 6 years from now that's like, yeah, Ten Hag was telling us all this bullshit in the dressing room, and half of us didn't give a fuck anymore. That's when we'll know, right? Nothing ass answers to nothing questions. I don't give a damn about that.
If he's
I never
fired
did.
By Christmas, I won't give two shits. What?
You only kick me off. I noticed that.
Huh?
So let me interject.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What'd you say, Mikey? Mikey, what'd you say?
I said, you only cutting me off. What's up with that?
Finish.
No, I'm finished.
No, I just want to interject with a little bit about the past. In 2003, Arsenal won the league. 2004, Chelsea won the league. 2005, Chelsea won the league, right? What did the press do to Sir Alex Ferguson?
They tore him up.
Greatest manager of all time. They tried to force him out. Dude, shit, he's past it. He can't do it. Exactly the same freaking thing happened to Sir Alex Ferguson. Yeah. They wanted him out. Man United fans wanted him out. Same thing. Lost the league 3 years in a row. And then,
but then we turned around and won it 3 years in a row.
He can't do it. They wanted him out.
Yeah, but
and that was our own fans.
Yeah.
Our own fans wanted him out.
True.
And then what happened the next year? He won the freaking league.
Well.
1999, he almost quit and went on to win the Champions League because of the fans. It's just, it's insane because Arsenal was so dominant, they didn't think he could handle it there. That's all what we should take away from that and what's going on now is stop fucking listening to the media. Stop listening to the media because they're going to be biased against Man United. And they always will.
And it doesn't matter what you say.
Talk to friends. Talk to people online from different places. You know, let's have, like I said last night at the end of the show, let's get back to non-negative ways of way that our fans are turning into the damn press. And they've always been like that. We want him out. We want him out. Well, they wanted Sir Alex Ferguson out in the 80s. They wanted Alex Ferguson out in 99. They wanted Alex Ferguson out in 2008. Did it turn out well for those fans that kept saying that shit? It didn't. So let's back our manager. Give him the time.
I just wish he wouldn't talk to the media.
Well, he does. What? I wish he would control the interviews. Like that, we keep bringing Sir Alex Ferguson back. But Sir Alex Ferguson, one, had stature. And two, could, if the media was giving him a tough time, you're banned. Like, it's like apples and oranges with a, you know, and we've been saying back the manager. Now we've backed the manager. The manager's got to start backing himself. And to a degree, you're right. To a degree, it's right that what they say in front of the press doesn't matter because there'll always be a negative United spin. But some of that is like he has to do damage control on his own. You know, he has to know that they're going to pick apart everything he says. So don't fucking say anything. You know what I mean? Like it's really, you know, it's one of those things where he keeps digging himself more holes. And that's the thing that puts pressure on him, because we may say, well, we don't listen to it. We don't care. But clearly the ownership and stuff. Clearly somebody else does, because
let me read some of these comments. Good points. Matthew Fisher, again, every other position has multiple good backups. LB is a necessity. Fisher says, what with our board directors get axed? What with our board directors getting axed?
Please read the comments, man.
Fisher's drunk.
Fisher's
I'm not
drunk.
On the screen, though.
Fisher's drunk.
Fisher's wife isn't home, and he's on the piss. So
yeah, that's what it is.
He's on the piss. On
it just, says what our board directors getting asked.
English? Do you speak it?
When our board of directors getting asked?
Damn. Someone says, did Belichick win over the press before and after?
Nobody
a game?
Cares about Bill Belichick.
That's Jeremy.
Good point.
Ronaldo says siege mentality. Okay, let's get into Well, the board is backing him.
Mm-hmm. They have to. That's
the next stretch of games are, I think, crucial.
Very crucial. You need all the points. You're off to another slow start. Your third Premier League campaign. You're off to another slow start.
Slow.
Like you haven't learned from the previous seasons. Injuries or not. I'm just like, dude.
What's up, Frank?
I think to bring it all full circle, I think the biggest problem we had was the performance. Like, we can all forgive a loss, but it's hard to forgive but a shellacking. Let's get into, we're not even in the
let's
game.
Let's get into these next.
Know?
Let's go into what's coming on with Eric Ten Hag. Bandito, these next coming games.
Yeah, so Southampton, probably a relegation team away.
We usually
we'll probably go with Eric, get like a 1-0 scrappy win. And it's probably, you know, what we'll need, you know, just then we've got with the cup game, Barnsley.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting a lot of changes with that. Then you're although on. last time he did play first teamers, so
yeah.
Well, we'll see about that, what his ambition is for that three-handled trophy. And then we've got Crystal Palace.
Yeah, Crystal Palace. Park,
which should be a tricky one. They've got some really decent players. Eze is a baller. They've got they're not a team to take lightly, and they make it difficult for you.
They sign in Nketiah. They got a striker.
But Olise is a big loss. Yeah. That's a huge loss.
And then Tottenham is the last one. No, FC 20 to Tottenham.
Then we start our Europa campaign. FC 20, that's at home at Old Trafford. And then Tottenham at home. And to finish, that'll take us into October, which will be like Porto. And ooh, then Villa, ooh, another ooh. another tricky match at Villa Park.
October. I saw someone post today that a friend, not the media, said he could be out at the end of October.
I mean, it's not like there's no easy games in the Premier League, especially
anything
now.
Anything could
but
damn happen. Ooh wee!
It's not a favorable run.
Let's just play the games one at a time. You know,
facts. Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the next four Premier Leagues, this is going to be a very negative question. How many points does he need at the next four Premier League games?
He needs all of them.
I like that answer. I really do.
He has no choice. Let's get this straight, though. He needs all of them. But if he loses or ties one, he needs to show that the team is more united and playing better.
Yeah.
To be able to continue.
He's about to get help.
You can't just lose one and just get dominated and expect everything to be fine. He needs all of those points. He needs to. If we want any top four ambition, he needs all of those points. But if he does drop points, he needs to show that the team is going in the right direction. The team can't just fall apart. Because if it does, then there's no progression, is there? And he's got 2 weeks now to fix this.
And he's getting some. Shaw be back. Rasmus be back. Ugarte has to be playing, right?
He better be.
Yeah, I don't like what he said.
Oh, no, no. You got to like what he said. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to what Ten Hag said.
Why? He's telling the truth.
Don't listen to what Ten Hag said. Don't listen to what Ten Hag says.
I'm hoping he's taking the
I didn't say nothing.
With that one.
Why do you listen to what he says? He's taking the piss.
He's telling the truth.
Because who would know better than the manager if the man's ready to play or not?
You said the man won't be back for weeks and months, and he's going to be playing for his team.
Yo, we started.
I said this last
slow.
Night. There's no way he's not fit. He does play for Europe.
That's what I'm saying, Sean. Yeah. Now, I know Mikey's
going up the stairs. Goddamn.
No, you're absolutely right. Especially when you play for Man United right now. But there's no way you can sit there and say he's not fit. Is he ready to jump straight into the first team? Is it better say he needs to train more to get into the team? Okay, I'm more willing to listen to that. I don't want to hear this shit that he's not fit.
Yeah, it's not the like guys, these guys. It's not like he was sitting on the couch this whole time. Like he's been training at PSG while we were waiting for the deal to go through. Same with the Lick. Yeah. Same with all these guys that we were waiting on to act like they. I mean, maybe they're not match fit, but. You know, these are professional athletes. Like, they can play a 60-minute match. You know, like, not starting Xerxes, not starting De Ligt in the second. Like, those type of mistakes you can't be making. And I think now, because he's had so many injuries, now he's getting too cautious. Like, oh, we don't want to be in another, injury crisis. But some of that is like, is it really the medical team or is it what we're doing on the training pitch? Because it's all non-contact injuries.
We got 8 minutes.
Here.
We got 8 minutes. Everybody. Rasmus back, Ugarte back, Shaw back. Mikey, what do you expect to see? What do you would like to see coming back out of this international break?
I like to see us win and play better. I think that's what we all want to see. I want to see us dominating. I could see what the style of play he wants us to do. I want to see it with non-Casemiro in the side. I want to see it with Rashford not playing.
Facts.
Or not starting at least. Once again, I don't think he had a terrible game against Liverpool. He actually had one of his better games.
Who, Rashford?
He wasn't awful.
He played better when Garnacho went off and everybody started booing him.
I mean, like I said, they're in their right to they're okay to boo him. He didn't have the best game ever, he didn't do the Rashford thing like disappear like he normally does. Another game, which I said every week.
Bandito, another
game where Rashford plays above what he's been doing, and it's just okay. So yeah, I'd like to see us have our style of play actually work and lead to goals.
Bandito, same question.
On top of that, I want to see United control games.
Yeah.
And not just try to win a basketball game and, mm-hmm. you know, break through the lines and treat a 4v4 like it's, a counterattack. Put your cleats on the ball, get your men forward and break down these teams, right? It's going to be some, you know, we're Spurs. Yeah, it's Spurs, but come on. Villa, they're a good side. They're going to have Champions League football, but they've been playing in Europe for the past year. So I don't expect a big drop off from them, you know. So we're going to have to not just try to play this transition game and try to grow into games, control the game, control the ball, control tempo. And that, for me, on top of what the boys said, scoring goals, defending.
Real quick, I like what you said then, Bandino. Just one thing to add there. They need to be ruthless. Like, instead of, like, going 2-0 up or 3-0 up like we did against Coventry, and then the manager making tactical changes and bringing bloody more defenders on, we need to go out and score more goals.
Yep.
Just go out and destroy a team. Like, this, like, go back to any kind of Man United. We need to go out and just destroy a team 6-0 and then get the confidence back up in the players instead of bringing defenders on and going, oh, look, we're going to defend the game now. We need to go out and be ruthless against the team.
I like what everybody's saying.
I don't mean to be that guy, but if Sean ever invites me on his show, I'll be at those matches. And we can, do a little thing. I never filmed during the match, but build up and on the grounds and all that fun stuff.
I tell you what, Bandino, I'm gonna give you an open invitation to Monday if you want on.
Real quick, Sean, let's hear Bandito.
Bandito.
Bandito, not Bandino.
Oh, Bandito. My bad. Well, you have an open invitation for Monday if you want it.
Cheese.
Fair enough.
Hands. I need hands. Hands. Everybody bow them head. I don't care if you're atheist. I'm just saying a quick prayer. We're toxicity out, negative fans out. We're praying for Eric Ten Hag to coach his way out of this misery. Just give us football, dog. Just give us football, please. Save your job. Save the club.
For Hallelujah. Real. Save
Boy, your job. Bullet, make me bullet.
Boya Kashan.
Sinatra, you got about a minute.
I need to
like Sean was saying, I'm tired of getting done 6-0 and 7-1 and all 30-0. Like, I want one time for us to put a cricket score on a rival. I miss the days when we would go out and 8-2 Arsenal, teams like this we used to not have to worry about so much. And I miss getting back to those days. And I also think that Ten Hag needs to humble himself. We need to go to a double pivot. Got to understand that we're just not a 4-3-3 team right now. And I think, honestly, if you played Casemiro and Ugarte and you told Ugarte, you're the killer, you go out there and win the ball back and recycle it, I bet you if you had Casemiro further up the pitch, you're going to start seeing some Brazilian stuff like he was doing for Real Madrid when he didn't have to worry about
being the
guy.
Job.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously it was a different level. He was playing with guys like Modric and, you know, Ronaldo and Karim Benzema. And obviously that was a world-class team. But the guy has enough football knowledge that for the people to say that, like, he's right off and he should never play for United again, like, that's – it's not that level. But we have to know that – now that there's, you know, five substitutions in this game now that you're eligible to make, pull the guy off after 60 minutes. Quit waiting the 78th minute to make a substitution. You know, those type of things you have to know going in what the plan's going to be. And you have to have plan A, B, and C. That's what I want to say.
Options, baby.
And I love you guys.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Ronaldo says, you know, we're going to lose to Palace. you should
probably.
You should get 9 points. We better.
So 9 out of 12.
Right. We would like to see organized play. We would. Those two are from Ronaldo's. From Phoenicia. We'd like to see organized play. Like, we're a club that loves playing with each other and supporters.
We just want to look like Man United again. Can we just look like Man United again? Can we look like the team that deserves
playing
to wear
for each
red,
other and supporters.
White, and black? Can we just one time? I need it. My patience is gone. 11 years.
Ronaldo said, read a book for the next 2 weeks and come off socials. Listen, we all want the same thing. We want the club to play well. We want our coach to save his job because right now the masses are pulling for it. The media is not as corner, and it's nothing we can control. The thing is, we can't be overreactionary. I am Eric Ten Hag.
No, it's a plot to keep United down. It really is.
It is a plot. It's there. I just don't want him to tell me crazy stuff because I want to trust his judgment. And the thing is, if he tells me crazy stuff and I see crazy shit on the pitch, I don't know what to think. But that's just me. I'm just a man of the streets.
I'm with you.
I'm just a man for the streets. That's all I'm saying. We all want the same thing. Just success. This is the last thing I'm going to say before we get out of here. I want to get back to the days where scouts or fans don't look at me at pity and be like, it doesn't even matter.
That's
all I got today. They acted like it didn't even happen. They're like, oh, yeah, we did play you, didn't we?
Yep.
Thank you to Bandito, Sean, Mikey, I love you. Sinatra, thank you for being in the studio. Cheese, we're about to go in the alley. Up the fucking road. You guys all have a good evening. Y'all have a good weekend.
You guys get high? We get high in California.
Peace, we're out. Up the fucking road.
Bruce watches this show.
Hilarious.
Worse.
Jeremy Sanchez and Mikey Douglas. Only on LA Talk Radio.